Right, we take it in turns preaching when we go out, and it's my turn today. I'm going to hold the mic, hopefully. My message, I'm going to cast a message out that is from the new era. You may not understand a word that I'm saying, which is okay, because I'm speaking out life and power. And the angels in the house have been waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They know who we are, but we don't fully understand who we are. And most of the speaking that you hear in churches is fantastic, and it's linked to the church era from the last 2,000 years. It's not old, it's still fresh, but we've changed season. We've come into the seventh day. And I'm going to release something that if you don't understand it with your head, your spirit understands it. And as I speak it, it's going to open up in the heavenly realm access for the angels and the ministers of God who have been prepared for this season to manifest on the earth. You know, God doesn't do anything without the prophet's voice. And so that's how I come today. I come with that voice. I'm not preaching a message to you directly or teaching to you directly. But in the name of Jesus, I open up your spirits to receive all that you need for this era to do the amazing, the stuff that at the moment your mind hasn't been able to conceive. Do you say amen to that?
Amen.
I think you agree. A new thing. What is the new thing on the earth? Well, in 2020, we all experienced a new thing that nobody had ever experienced before, didn't we? We got locked down. That has never happened. There's been pandemics in the world, but they've been kind of regional, and we were never locked down like that before in the whole of human history. What happened in that time was the earth had a Shabbat, it had a Sabbath. It hasn't happened ever. Israel had Sabbaths, but the world never had a complete rest like we had. And you'll see things on YouTube where, I don't know, mooses come walking down the road in Canada and just nature started to revive and regenerate because we rested. It was a forced rest. The world had to bend the knee. Jesus didn't make that pandemic. It wasn't God's making. But when it happened, when the enemy threw out something that he thought would destroy people, which it did, death came, the church got stronger. Now, you may not have got stronger personally. You might have been fearful and worried and hidden away. But actually, worldwide, those who knew the Lord for this era were prepared and knew that this wasn't going to defeat things, that this was the opening of something that God was waiting to do in this time. So the earth rested. What happened to the church? Well, we found this thing called Zoom. Do you remember? And lots of people were locked down, but we were watching stuff on the telly. You might not have been in church then. But for those of us who all our lives, every Sunday had gone to a service and then all through the week we were doing things, suddenly we were in the ark, hidden away. But there was this technology that allowed me to join up with believers, with sons of God who weren't actually in my space. That's what God wants now. Not that we don't go to church, but that those who are in the space in the heavenly realms that are there right now, some of them, the cloud of witnesses are watching now, we have access to church in heaven. And the Zoom calls were a bit of a test run. Now, I know you don't know what I'm talking about yet, but if you sit alone with the Lord and say, what's happening in heaven? He'll open things up to your spirit and start to show you things that you hadn't even thought to ask about in the old era. And I'll tell you how I know this is true, because Hebrews 12:22, that scripture, would you put those up? This, the book of Hebrews, it's potentially it was written by Paul, but it doesn't really matter. But this person who wrote the book of Hebrews, he said, you haven't come to Sinai where you have to keep laws and there's this terrible fiery God that you're scared of. No, you have come to where? Mount Zion. Not, he didn't say, one day when you die, you will be able to see the Mount of God and be able to enter into the heavenly Jerusalem. No, he didn't say that. He said, you have come already. Now that you're in Christ, now you're born again, you already, your spirit is seated in heavenly places and has access to everything Jesus has access to now. Now, if that hasn't blown your mind, it's because you've already been there. If it has blown your mind, it's about time you started saying, I want to go there in the spirit. I want to see this Mount Zion, this place where God dwells. So this writer of the Hebrews says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. Heaven isn't a big cloud. In heaven, there is a city. In a city, there is stuff going on. There are courts. There are places to trade. There's people are training and developing. There's ideas coming out. You know what a city looks like, don't you? There's stuff happening. There's movement. There's relationship between people. That's happening right now in the heavenly space. And when you're born again, you have access to that in your prayers. Now, this is a whole sermon on its own, but what I'm going to do today, I'm just throwing stuff out to your spirit so your spirit remembers what I'm talking about and will start to seek it. Because when Jesus died and rose again, he didn't want you to just think about your sin, try to be a good person, eventually die, and then go to heaven and get your inheritance. That isn't what he died for. That isn't. He died that you might have life and life to the full. Life abundantly when you die. No, he wants you to have it now. He wants you to move in incredible abundance. And so you might be struggling now. So I want you to focus on the things that you thought were to come after you died. Start to say to the Lord, I want to see this city now. I want to see what happens in Zion now. I want to know what happens in the courts of God now. Will you show me? And when we pray, you can ask the Holy Spirit, what do I need to know now to do the work that you've called me to do on the earth? Are you getting this? Because it doesn't matter if you're not. Then it goes on to say, you have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Do you ever feel like you're on your own? Well, open your eyes. Open your spiritual eyes, because not only do we have Jesus in us and the Holy Spirit in us and the Father, you know, like we're in Christ, but not only have we got our actual angel that's standing or sitting right next to you now, who's with you all the time, but you have got a company of angels to fulfill the things that God's called you to do on the earth. And if you didn't think that was enough, you can just call, like Jesus, other hosts of angels to fulfill the things that you need to do on the earth. Did you know that? Did you know that? Because somewhere in your spirit, you do know that. Because as I'm saying it, you're kind of going, wow, yeah, there's an innumerable company of angels, not just one each. So whatever it is that you're praying about, don't plead for God to do stuff. Start saying, how do I release that company of angels to fulfill those things in prayer? You want to see more churches planted. Well, let's release the church planting angels. I mean, I don't know what they are. I don't do church planting. But there is a company of angels that is for each church plant. And every area will have different mandate from God. They won't all be the same. But those angels that have been commissioned to do that work, they know how to do that work. Those of you who are raising children, you say, you know this child. It's different from my other child. They have an angel each, the Bible says. But Lord, give me another angel to show me how to be a good parent to this child, because I don't get this one. I understand this one, but this one I don't get. Help me. Whatever you've got to do, there's help there. And you might think, well, why don't I just ask Jesus? Well, of course you can. But Jesus, he's got a lot of friends in heaven. You know, when you first fall in love, if you've ever fallen in love, it's quite a selfish love because it's just like you go out together, you talk together, you go on honeymoon together, it's all just you. And but as your love develops, it's mature enough to open your home. Maybe people come and live with you like us. It's like your heart expands, your love expands. And you get to know all the friends of your spouse or your boyfriend, and you get to know his family. It doesn't mean your love's diminished or that he doesn't do as much for you. Jesus is always Jesus. He's always our God who helps us. But he's got a lot of friends that he wants to introduce you to help you to do what you need to do. This is the work of this age. We've never quite done it as clearly in our old way of doing church as we can now. Just backtracking, if you don't like any of this stuff that I'm talking about, that's okay. We can still carry on doing church the way we like to, the old way of doing it, and the blessing's still there. But I think there's some early adopters here. We come to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. You have come to the blood, the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. I could preach on this for the whole week, but I'm going to stop there. All I wanted to tell you was, in heaven, there is a lot going on, and through Christ, you have ability to access it in your prayers. And I'm just going to leave that there. If you want more teaching on this in the future, maybe God will bring me back. Secondly, when did you go to heaven then? If this man says, but you have come to Mount Zion, when did we come? Well, Ephesians 2:6. It says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. When did you get seated in heavenly places? When you got born again. The minute you got born again. That's why I say you're not human. Humans aren't seated in heavenly places on a throne. When we got born again, straight away, our position in Christ was secure on a throne in the heavenly realms. I can see myself on my throne in the heavenly realms now because I've practiced doing this. And I know I have an authority, a dominion over certain things. And you're there too, whether you know it or not. And we went there when we got born again. Why? Why do we have access to heaven now? Revelation 5:10. Because God has made us a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and we will reign on earth. We have got access to these things in heaven because we're not supposed to be under the thumb asking God to help us with all these things that beset us. We are supposed to recognise that we are sons of God, seated in heavenly places, hearing what the Father's doing, and then releasing it onto the earth as the priests of God so that we might reign. Do you know what's going on in Israel at the moment? Looks like the start of a third world war. There's stuff happening. And we can pray to God and say, Lord, would you bless Israel? Would you bring peace? Which is what we do as children. Dad, would you do this? Mom, would you do that? But when we're mature sons of God, the Father says, how do you want to engage in this? I'll go, I don't know. And he might say to you, will you speak this into being? Will you declare this over this nation? Will you stand on the top of this mountain and cast down something from Zion? From heaven, not from down here, trying to pull down strongholds, but from up in the heavenly place where we know we are and saying, right, you down there, you stronghold, which is already under my feet, I'm just taking a step to crush you. Amen. Is that blasphemous? No, because we're in Christ. And when I take a step, Jesus is taking a step. When I declare something, it's not just me. We're doing it with Christ. We're doing it together. You have so much power. You have so much power. And lots of that power comes out in you through joy. You can only have great joy when you've got great peace. And you can only have great peace when you know you've already won. Do you know, we're not asking God to do anything that he hasn't already done. Now we're saying, Father, what on earth are you wanting to see happen in the earth now? Because he's got a great plan. And I'll tell you what it is. Ephesians 1, 9 to 10. Do you know what a mystery is? A mystery. You know, like you have mystery plays, mystery murder mysteries, or a mystery is something that it has got a solution. It's just quite hard to find out. It's like, what's that? How? What's that? Who did it? And what's the way? And it's a mystery. It's hidden. And it takes somebody to explore it, to find it out. Well, Paul did that. And he said, having made known to us the mystery of his will, God's made the mystery known. It says, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him. Now that's a bit gobbledygooky, and I could preach on this for another 1,000 years, but God's will right now is that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, Zion, the city of Jerusalem, the spirits of men made perfect, the cloud of witnesses, the innumerable company of angels, all that host of stuff that's going on in heaven. He wants that to be one with what's going on earth. Did you know that? That's his will. Not that we wait on earth till Jesus comes back again and then he does it all. No, he wants us to work with him now to declare that we are one in Christ, that we are, there's a church in heaven, there's a church on earth, and it's the same church. We start talking about these things and the earth will start to respond to it. We're not handing over the earth to the devil. I don't know if you are and you're just waiting to get out of here, but that isn't what Jesus wants. He wants us with him to declare he's already won the victory. He defeated death. He defeated demons. He defeated sickness. He defeated hell. It's done. But when you look around, it seems to be everywhere. Why? Because at the moment, the sons of God haven't understood who we are and understood that his will is that all things are pulled together in Christ, in heaven and on earth. Now, when he comes, he will do it fully. You know, it will be complete. But in the meantime, in our area, our dominion of authority, that's what we are to do. Now, you haven't got to do anything very difficult. You've just got to start to say, I'm a son of God. Jesus defeated death. I have access to the heavenly realm already. And the more you tell your spirit that, the more that will start to manifest in your walk. And you won't be thinking so much about, I've got a pain in my knee, because you will have created an atmosphere around you that is deathless. There'll be no sickness in that atmosphere. There will be no sorrow in that atmosphere. And you will start to meet people and say, hello, Becky. Is it Becky? What's your name? Becky. And suddenly, Becky will be filled with joy because that power of God in you and that beauty of God in you will infect her. And she'll go, what just happened? And she'll be singing all day and she won't know why, because the kingdom of God has just met her in you. I'm closing now with this scripture in Romans 8, verse 19 to 21. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Basically, what that means is the earth was perfect. And then Adam sinned, and God caused the earth and all of creation to be subject to futility. Things had to die in the earth as well, because men were going to die. And you have never seen a glorified tree. You have never seen a glorified dog. You have never seen in this world how God created mountains, because the whole of creation has had to be basically dulled down under death because men die. But Jesus defeated death. And once we get that, really get that, then that the earth that is groaning and saying, let me free, let me be what I was when God created me to be, as we walk around, things will start to grow in ways that you've never seen your garden grow before. The atmosphere, people will stop carrying the knives because the person they wanted to jab will suddenly look like their brother. You know, this seems like incredible, doesn't it? It seems like it's impossible. What's impossible with God?
Nothing.
Nothing. But you've got to know it to be able to release it. So I'm talking about these things, whether you believe them or not yet, it doesn't matter. I know the angels have heard me, and I know that they're already positioned to start to work through you in this way. And you will look back on some things and go, something's different, yeah? We're in a new time. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just seal this word. I seal it in our hearts. I seal it in the courts of heaven. I declare over us that our understanding of what it is to be a priest will shift 100%. Lord, I declare over us that we are priests in the order of Melchizedek, the eternal priest, and that Jesus is the great high priest. And we are being trained by the seven spirits of God into our priesthood. Lord, I declare that as that shift comes and we understand that we are the mediators between heaven and earth, that our kingship would start to be displayed on the earth and all of creation will start to respond. Lord, I declare that you defeated death and that we don't have to die to gain our inheritance. And today I start a chain reaction in the lives of every person here, that whether they've understood it or not, whether they agree or not, whether there's any demonic response to this, I just declare there is no going back and there is no holding back, that the people under the sound of my voice will rise up and they are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And we give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honour, all the power is yours. And we declare that we shall give you the nations when you come back, because you are the one who trains us to be sons of God. Bless you, Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for... I know that was tough going, but I really do believe that you have got something here. And I just want to honour again the angel of salvation that's in this house. You are really good at going out and doing evangelism. But I want to say your evangelism is going to change too. Not just like Paul walking down the street and seeing healings. There's going to be a shift in the way you think about evangelism for the new era. What you're doing is fantastic. You're seeing people saved. But I also want to invite the other angel that is going to... It's like a changing of the guard. Yeah, do you want to speak? But there's a changing of the guard. And so salvation will remain, but salvation, this angel, is part of the old era. And it's making way for the angelic that's been positioned. So if you would allow me, I would like to pray along that line. So Lord, we honour the new. We started off saying, see, I am doing a new thing. And Mandy, I am speaking about that today. And now the host that has been prepared for this congregation that is of the new. We honour you, we receive you, we induct you into your work here, whatever that is, and we will not deny the move that you want to do, even if it feels a bit uncomfortable to begin with. Train us in the new. In Jesus' name, amen.